Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Daniel chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, where the prophet was given prophecy that foretold the major events in Israel from 529 to 200 BC, as Israel was invaded by Persian kings, Alexander the Great, and the Greeks, and then invaded by the Seleucid kings of the north in Syria, and the Egyptian Ptolemaic kings of the south, as they battled each other, mostly not on each other's turf, but in Israel, with major battles in Gaza, which just happens to be the same area of focus in the news in these last days, as we will see is also predicted in our future studies in the rest of this chapter. Now, as you listen, if you have questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And we've titled this 529 to 200 B.C. Foretold. This is part 1 of 2. All right. How many of you came ready to do a little Bible study? Well, you're going to have to wait. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come together and we will get into your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us and teaches us. We thank you for the Spirit that also bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God and comforts us, gives us strength. And now we just pray, Lord, that you'd be with us during our time of study and our discussion and our fellowship and all things, that we would be pleasing in your sight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to start with a current events update. All right, we're going to start with an in-house discussion. In-house. We call this in-house because this fellow is a Christian. We don't agree with everything anybody else does because none of us are perfect. So I just want that little disclaimer out there. But in Dallas, Texas, the mayor and the Dallas Morning News came against a local church. And the local church had simply advertised what their Sunday message was going to be. And they took to the airwaves and the newspaper and the internet.
So how did you feel when you were silenced when they said these billboards are not going up?
Well, we were really surprised. And what happened was we had these billboards, Ainsley, to support our upcoming patriotic service this coming Sunday. And I'm going to be bringing a special message titled America is a Christian Nation, in which I recount the historical evidence for the Christian foundation of our country. Well, as soon as the billboards went up, the Dallas Morning News wrote a scathing article about these billboards, accusing me of being hateful and divisive with these words. And they interviewed the mayor of Dallas, who agreed with that assessment and said that I was divisive and that these words do not represent who Dallas is. 24 hours later, we received notice from the billboard company that they were going to take down the billboards, and they cited this Dallas Morning News article that contained the mayor's comments. And Ainsley, I want to be clear about this. We support the right of the billboard company not to put out a message they disagree with, just like that wedding cake baker. But what we don't support is the mayor of Dallas and his chief communications officer weighing in on this topic, showing hostility toward our church and directly or indirectly influencing the billboard company. The Supreme Court just said 2 weeks ago in that wedding cake case that government has to be neutral, not hostile toward religion, and we believe Mayor Mike Rawlings has shown hostility toward our church.
I was a little shocked when I read that the mayor was weighing in on this and saying that it was hateful, agreeing with that columnist from the Dallas Morning News saying it was hateful and it was divisive. Why do you think he's saying that?
Well, he's very liberal, and it's interesting, Ainsley, a couple of years ago when the American Atheist put up a billboard at Christmas time saying, skip church, Christianity is fake news, we didn't hear the mayor criticizing that or calling that divisive or saying that doesn't represent Dallas, but for some reason he feels threatened by the message that America is a Christian nation. And by the way, that phrase is not something I originated. That came from John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And that phrase is also found in two Supreme Court rulings, 1844 and 1892.
Now, just to clarify something, the liberals immediately respond by quoting the Treaty of Tripoli and a couple other things showing that our government is not a Christian government. That's true. But that's not what he said. See, they answer a statement you didn't make. It happens to me all the time. I say something, and then I get these emails and voice messages from people who respond to something I didn't even say. He didn't say our government is a Christian government. He said our nation is a Christian nation. Based on what? Based on the facts. And that's what his message was going to be, is going to be Sunday. It's going to show everything from the Mayflower Compact. When they came over here, said it was for the propagation of the Christian religion and the gospel. But the point is that if you look at our history, even people like Ben Franklin, who was not a Christian, said that it was the fact that so many of the people in this country were Christians, that every town was filled with churches, that he actually gave money to those churches. Even though he wasn't a Christian, he gave more money than most Christians probably do. Why? Because he saw the effects. And he saw that this country, the reason why we were even able to have a constitution and not have a king or not have a dictator is because of the fact that people were a Christian. And even those who weren't necessarily born again, they were so influenced by the Bible. And so anyway, the point is that their accusation was false. He didn't say the government is a Christian government. But you notice, I don't know if you caught that in there. This is true about your liberal friends and relatives. They didn't have a problem with the atheists attacking Christianity. But they will join them in attacking Christianity. Liberalism is a dangerous cult. And they have killed more people than the Nazis with their abortion. Abortion is a liberal doctrine. They have also, but it also is a death cult beyond that because it's just their lifestyle. When you turn on the news and you see these people committing suicide and you see the death rate of sodomites killing each other, dying from STDs, that's all part of the package of liberalism. That's what they're all about. But here's just along the same lines. This is also in Texas. Another billboard. Liberals, please continue on I-40 until you have left our great state of Texas. Amen. That's somebody who knows what it's all about, what's going on. Now, he didn't say, I always try to be careful because it's not Democrat versus Republican. There are liberals and progressives in the Republican Party. They're called Never Trumpers. But they are the people like John McCain. You know, those kind of guys who are not, they're rhinos is what we always call them, Republican in name only. But it's not a political party battle, it's about ideology. Now, we'll go to the outhouse. These are issues outside of Christianity, per se. And I just want to start with this amazing thing that, again, all the Christians out there that will not give Donald Trump credit are stupid. All the Christians who have been praying for a president who would put the embassy in Jerusalem, who would stop celebrating Fag Month in June, who wouldn't light up the White House in the fag flag collars. We got him! And these stupid Christians are just as busy backbiting and ankle nibbling on him as they were Obama. This makes no sense. And you're going to keep hearing me hounding on that. But he took us out of the UN Human Rights Council. The official that they interviewed for this story claimed that countries like China, Egypt, and Russia worked to undermine U.S. reform efforts, and that the council has passed more resolutions this year condemning Israel than Iran, Syria, and North Korea combined. Obama didn't pull us out of that. Bush didn't pull us out of that. Clinton didn't pull us out of that. George H.W. Bush didn't pull us out of that. Trump did. He said, and I'll tell you again, if Trump turns and starts going against these things, I'll be right up here saying that he's wrong. But when any man, and that includes you, when you do what's right, I guarantee you, I'll be in your corner. And if you do what's wrong, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. Amen. So why not be that way with our president? I'll tell you why, because people are proud and arrogant. They want themselves to look like, I know more than you do. Evidently, you just don't understand things, or you'd be in agreement with me against our president, even though he's doing everything we've prayed for a president to do my entire lifetime. All four living former first ladies condemn the Trump border policy. What's going on our border is an orchestrated event. And as Tom said just a second ago, there's a reason behind it. The reason why the liberals are sending the message to Mexico, Central and South America to come to this country with your children, operating like Hamas, using children as a human shield, is because they need new voters. They want to replace you. They want to replace you. They are, the Democratic Party and all the progressives and liberals in the Republican Party are anti-American. And they don't like you. Because you won't go along with the world order. You won't go along with the globalist agenda. So they have to replace you. Now, just a warning, the faint of heart may want to leave the room. Because I'm about to tell Hillary Clinton to shut up. I'll let you watch it.
Nor are these policies rooted in religion. In fact, those who selectively use the Bible to justify this cruelty are ignoring a central tenet of Christianity. I went to a lot of years of Sunday school. I even taught it from time to time. I've studied the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament.
And I gotta say it again. I just can't believe she had to say this.
Rooted in religion. In fact, those who selectively use the Bible to justify this cruelty are ignoring a central tenet of Christianity. I went to a lot of years of Sunday school. I even taught it from time to time. I've studied the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. And what is being done using the name of religion is contrary to everything I was ever taught.
Are you kidding me? Are you stinking kidding me? This woman who has spent her entire career opposing Jesus Christ, this godless witch who has spent her entire life as an adult fighting for the right of women to kill children in their own womb, is going to lecture me on what the Bible teaches? Shut up, Hillary, you piece of human scum. Shut up. Unbelievable.
This woman believes that a baby that's so big that I could hold in my hands like this, she supports late-term abortion. That's murder. And it's when you take a baby and you deliver it up to its neck, and these abortionists that support Hillary and give her the money she needs to run for office and support her Clinton Foundation, these murderous, satanic scumbags called abortion doctors. They're not doctors, they're killers. And they take a pair of scissors and they jam it in the back of the head of a little helpless baby, thanks to Hillary Clinton. And they move it around, they stick a vacuum in the back of that baby's head and suck its brains out. Hillary Clinton, thanks to you, human scumbag. And you're concerned about children? Shut up.
Jesus said, "Suffer the little children unto me." He did not say, "Let the children suffer."
She quotes the Bible like Satan. Look up Genesis 3 and Matthew 4 and see how Satan quotes little tiny portions of the Bible so he can abuse it. He cuts things out. He adds things. That's how Hillary quotes the Bible. I believe she's possessed by a devil. That is a woman possessed by the devil. Mark 10:14, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, comma, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Jesus is not talking about little children entering a country, crossing its borders illegally. Jesus is talking about little children coming to Jesus. And Hillary's never led one little child to Jesus, but she's led an awful lot of them to an early grave.
So the test of any nation is how we treat the most vulnerable among us.
Don't forget one thing. There's only one reason these lying pieces of human crap like Hillary Clinton are doing what they're doing to this country. They hate America. Go look up the video where Hillary Clinton is congratulating Walter Cronkite for receiving the World Federalist Amethyst as an award for Walter Cronkite. Yes, the most trusted man in news in America. Our news has been fake for decades. And she's congratulating Walter Cronkite on this award for his work for a one world government. Hillary is a one-world globalist. She's a traitor to this country. And the reason why Hillary is abusing the Bible, lying against Jesus Christ, and fighting to kill American babies in abortion clinics, while also fighting to bring foreign people illegally into this country, is because she hates you, America. Hillary Clinton hates America. Hillary Clinton hates you. She hates Jesus. She hates the Bible. She hates all things that are decent and good, as far as I can tell. But they, the Democrat Party, need to replace you, America. They are bringing in voters. They need new voters. Democrats are anti-American. Liberals, including Never Trump Republicans and progressives in the Republican Party, are anti-American globalists. They've got to get rid of the American voter. That's why they're bringing in the foreigners to counter your votes. And look how close they came in the last election. They packed them to their disadvantage. They packed California with too many. If they can spread them out, then they can win the Electoral College, and America is dead. And Hillary Clinton is one of the people trying to kill America. And that's behind this whole charade of her pretending to care about children that she's worked to kill her entire political career.
I wanted to show that because I know some of you don't get on the internet. I also want to make sure I was as mean as I intended to be. I think there's something wrong with Christian men in this country right now. They're a bunch of effeminate panty wastes. Get angry! Be angry and sin not, the Bible says. I just don't understand it. And I see Christian men complaining about the fact that preachers are standing up when they do. I just don't get it. But I just want to share that little uplifting thing to you. There's who's separating families for over 100 years. Hillary's Planned Parenthood that they have voted to fund with your taxpayer money to kill babies. And the fact that Christians aren't angry about that, it's sad. Dre, you want
to... They brought out this woman reverently condemning Jeff Sessions for using the Bible to justify children being separated from courts. Funny how they'll go after Jeff Sessions for that, so yet they won't go after Hillary.
Yeah, and this, Hillary was addressing Jeff Sessions in that clip, actually, too. That was her response to Jeff Sessions. And they don't care what the Bible says. I mean, they just throw a little Bible verse out there once in a while. Tracy, that's exactly what you were talking about just a few minutes ago. Some lesbian who doesn't care about God, doesn't even say she believes in God, is a godless reprobate. She's an abomination. And she wants to quote Scripture to Tracy. That's what you're dealing with. Well, we're going to get into Daniel 11. And not that it's necessary, but the segue into this is simple. God is in control. You have an opportunity to have a spine, to use your God-given vocal cords, to take a stand, and you'll be greatly rewarded for that. Or you can just be a throw rug and let people step all over you. Either way, God's going to win. He's going to have some people, though, who are going to be on the front lines fighting. And that's what I'm going to be. And listen, I'm not up here accusing anybody. I think a lot of you are already. I think a lot of you have been taking stands. But I want you to understand something. It's very easy to get sucked into the Laodicea. It's very easy to jump in the lukewarm water. And that's why it's so important for you to be a part of a local church that is Bible-believing if possible. But those of you online, you don't have a good local Bible-believing church, it's important for you to stay connected through the internet with this ministry. Why? I want to tell you, I'm through apologizing. I'm telling people, you need to be connected with a ministry that is a King James Bible-believing, dispensational, pre-trib, pro-Israel ministry. And you need to stand with them. You need to give money to support those ministries and stop being tightwads. I know a couple of Christians just in the last couple of weeks who wrote me letters. They're disgusting letters. Tightwads going to stand in front of Jesus and not have given any of their substance to support His work. And using TBN as their excuse. I'm not TBN. And if I'm not the one, you find yourself a preacher in a local church and you give your money to them. It's so disgusting. The queers give their money to the liberals and the liberal preachers. And I got letters and emails from people complaining about having to give their money to support a ministry. I haven't asked for money. You got a guilty conscience. I never wrote them a letter and told them to give money. I don't stand up here and appeal for money and then you write me a letter about it. You got a guilty conscience you're going to answer to God for. Imagine the work that could be done if Christians weren't so tight with their God-given purse strings. And there's several people in every church that pay all the bills. And the rest of you, in this church and all the rest, you're going to be ashamed of yourself. Don't write me letters. They're going to be thrown in your face at the judgment. God is in control. He's going to win. Now, whose side are you on? I'm going to be on the side of the omniscient, all-powerful God who tells the future before it happens. And I'm going to fight for that God. Daniel 11, verse 1. Read that with me. Also, I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Now, this was in 533 B.C. when this prophecy was given. And none of this had happened yet. All right? Now, a little reality check. This prophecy, like Daniel 9:24-27, the 70 weeks prophecy, is so incredible and accurate that the scholars lie in order to destroy our faith in the text. You better be careful what you read when you study Daniel. The scholars will be out there trying to make you doubt that this was written before it happened. This is from Clarence Larkin. Quote, here we have a history so accurately foretold and written in advance that the critics claim that the book of Daniel could not have been written as early as is claimed, which is 533 B.C., but that it must have been written after the wars of the Ptolemies and Seleucidae were over, or about B.C. 160. Why? For it would have been impossible for Daniel or any other person to have so accurately described these wars before they occurred. And that's true. But you see, they left out God. It's not impossible for God. And we're told that God gave Daniel this information. So, the scholars are stupid. Ignore them. It's an amazing thing. But ignoring the scholars, we can look back and see the complete fulfillment of what we have here on our chart. We see it starts at 529 B.C. and runs down to 200 B.C. And we'll refer to that several times as we continue reading. Read verse 2 with me. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Now, that's exactly what happened. This is probably the only verse in our study tonight that kind of gives you a lot in a nutshell. As we go on, it's going to get kind of detailed. And you can get a little bogged down sometimes with this stuff. But just follow along closely. The three kings of Persia, the fourth is called Xerxes. Now, if you look at the chart, we had Ahasuerus, 529-522, Artaxerxes, 522-521, short reign, Darius, from 521-485. Now, you see that underneath those names are in white, the other names, those are the secular names. If you read secular histories, they try to never use Bible names. So that makes it a little hard sometimes when you're reading secular histories. You have to kind of do a little matchmaking there. You have to match the names up. But Xerxes is the fourth king here that ruled from 485-465. And that's all right there. And he had to stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Why? Remember our study in chapter 8? Read verse 3. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. Who is that? This mighty king is the notable horn of Daniel 8. And that was who, Charlie? Alexander the Great. See, Xerxes had to come against Grecia because out of Grecia came Alexander the Great. And he ruled from 336-323. So you see, we're being taken down, we're marching down the corridors of time, thanks to Daniel. And now we're not given exact names for these kings here, but keep in mind there are times where God gave the exact name. Cyrus, remember we studied that. But in this case, we're given the general information. So we come to verse 4, and it says, and when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven. We're going to look at a map in a second, a reminder from our study in Daniel.